Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Quick draw here on this Monday before Thanksgiving. Paul Ihander in the chair on the left. On the right is the sister from another mister, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, Lindsey Brown.
One day, Paul. One day for greatness.
Just one. Just one. Yeah, we decided to show up today because the boss said, I thought you were going to be off all week. He literally told me that today. I said, no, we're going to be there because
we got to talk about them Raiders.
There's a lot of stuff to
another
chop
sports
up today. Yeah, lots of stuff to chop up today. Coming up at 3:18, former Heisman Trophy winner. I guess you're never a former Heisman Trophy winner, but we should ask him why he hasn't been in those Heisman commercials.
Right.
Because, you know, he should be like riding shotgun with Kyler and Tim Tebow.
Right.
Former Miami quarterback Gino Toretta will join us, talk about the quarterback situation, not only in the NFL, but the NCAA, too. Lots of that
news.
There's
a lot going on.
Lots of that news in the last
good old QB.
Yeah, 24 hours or so. So he'll be joining us at 3:18. Also throughout
Sweet.
The program, lots of football news. Raiders making some moves today. Get some head coach John Gruden talking about how he does not like his defense. And,
why?
Yeah, he just does not like his defense.
I thought they were okay last night, Paul.
No, not according to head coach.
All right.
And also, we're going to break down the list of NHLers under the age of 25. They ranked them all. And,
well, most of the cream of the crop.
Most
There's
of
a
them.
Lot of them.
Right. And I've got one question I'm going to ask Lindsey. That's a 422
just
about
one.
That entire list. Well, the big one, I think, more than anything else. But you'll have to stick around for that and join us then. So
the whole time.
Yep. Got football. Got some hockey. Definitely got some NBA free agent
what
news.
What else do you have to do?
And we're going to sneak in a little baseball, too, but not very much.
OK, good.
Yes. And we will not play
it's a cleansing.
We will
going
not
through.
Play Jingle Cats today.
I'm not going to even ask.
Not get into that because
Let's
it is not Christmas.
We
have not even gotten to Thanksgiving yet.
No.
So Christmas music,
not
no.
yet. Not
no.
yet.
Not today.
That's for your personal time, not our time, Paul.
Right. Let's get to the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
That's it's your daily checkdown. Powered by Radio.com Sports.
No jingles.
Number one.
Joe Burrow tore everything that ends in CL.
Yeah.
This was Sunday during the game against the Washington football team. Went down early in the third quarter, tackled hard, carted off, lots of head taps, lots of prayer emojis.
Well, he knew right away.
On social media, and he looked dejected and deflected, just basically telling everyone, see you next year. It's a torn ACL, MCL. Other structural issues. He's going to start rehabbing. There is a thought, though, that he could miss much of the 21 season based on the extent of the injury.
And that's a big possibility. It just depends on how your body kind of takes to the recovery process. And whenever you're fixing not just the ACL, which has really become the run-of-the-mill type of surgery that almost every high-end athlete has, but that MCL, having two of those pillars being damaged, and apparently there's more, it's just so much more muscle tissue area that you have to work back up to that level to sustain that amount of trauma. And it takes a while.
A guy that is still being seen as the future of Cincinnati, which he should be.
I would hope
so. A serious setback for him. He was actually looked like he was just starting to get comfortable, to be honest, in the system. And, some serious changes there in Cincinnati. Ryan Finley will take over. His backup is Brandon Allen. literally sounds
the
like
the most generic name of all time. You love it. It's clearly the cousin of Mr. Kyle Allen, who is also on the IR for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, and was on the Washington football. Oh, my gosh. All of the worlds are colliding, Howie Day.
Yeah, that's Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they didn't have
tough putt for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they should invest in offensive line help. Put a sign in the doorway, Paul. Help wanted.
I guess.
People to push others out of the way, away from Joe.
Joe Burrow's knee blown up.
Number two.
Well, we do have positive news in terms of football tonight. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Yes, another
positive.
Yeah, well, it's another good Monday night football game to get behind. I mean, that's...
Well, Monday night usually gets good matchups. It's more frequent than the Thursday night games usually get. But yeah, this one's pretty good. Where are you feeling right now? Are you leaning more Rams? Because, you know, you did talk to Big Boss Dan today.
I did, but he did not bring up football.
And that's why we're working today. You didn't tell me that was part of the conversation.
I did not. It's really a matter of how badly or how much Aaron Donald can get to Tom Brady.
That is true.
Brady's got a few extra weapons in the arsenal.
And a few extra pounds on those feet, though, Paul, when he tries to move around the pocket. It doesn't look so fleet of foot.
Well, Ramsey can't cover everybody in the secondary. This is true.
But he can take out Mike Evans.
Well, that's one.
That's a lot, though. And that's the guy.
That's one.
Right?
That's one. One.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty good matchup. But remember, last time the Buccaneers played on prime time, they got blown out.
Yeah, it was ugly.
By the Saints. 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah, so they made some changes there. They made some mental changes, made some practice changes as well.
Changing the timing.
That's what Bruce Arians did. So we'll see how exactly it will shape things out here. But it's a good game.
I mean, yeah.
It's nice to have a good, meaningful game.
It's
on
in Tampa
night.
Or it's in
Tampa.
L.A.? Okay. So at least it's not like a super, super late night then.
No, not for...
At least for America.
Yeah, not for that, but yeah.
Right on.
Decent game tonight. Rams at Bucks Monday Night Football.
Right. Number three.
Paul.
All right, so the Henderson Silver Knights tried to sneak it under the radar, but we found it. That they were going...
Alert the press.
Well, they hired a couple of assistant coaches today.
That they did.
For the Silver Knights. Jamie Heward, who was the associate coach for the Vancouver Giants, Vancouver, British Columbia. So I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you for clarifying.
Well...
I know there's a Vancouver, Washington.
There is. Western Hockey League. But yeah, that would be the minor league Vancouver team.
Mm-hmm.
Played pro hockey. Obviously, most of them do. Pretty much all over the planet.
Yeah. And Joel Ward.
And Joel Ward.
Who just retired in April.
Yeah, who just retired. Played a fairly lengthy career in the NHL.
You most associate him with the jersey colors we usually do not like in this town, the Sharks. But he's played for many a club. And both of these guys... You know, as you said, Paul, well-traveled, well-versed in multiple levels of hockey, and that's what you have to have feelers everywhere at the AHL level, especially with development, and just kind of knowing guys and being able to talk to guys that have played with the guys that are in your organization. So I think this is a great couple additions to the coaching staff, and things are taking shape
Someone,
for the Silver Knights.
Heward played or spent six seasons with Swift Current. So that means there's some Kelly McCrimmon ties.
Oh, yes.
Somewhere in
We're
there.
All buddies with our boys and our girls and our girls. It's all, we're all one big happy hockey family.
Ward played with the Wild. Do you remember him with the Wild at all?
He wasn't the biggest name when he was
he
on my team. I was more aware of him and his game after he had left the Minnesota Wild, but... Just like most people that leave the great state of Minnesota, if they're professional athletes, they do things, better things, in other
once
pastures. Greener pastures cannot grow because, you know, it starts snowing in October.
So they filled out the hockey team staffing, at least on the bench for Henderson. Well, actually, hopefully they get a chance to play.
This is true.
At some point this season, we still don't have an NHL plan, let alone an AHL plan. And
do we need those plans?
It would be helpful.
Yeah.
They have
be helpful to my Christmas plans. I can tell you that right now.
There's a week left of November right now. And
they want to start January 1.
Neither of those leagues have a plan right now.
Yeah. I would just like to know if I can go home for the holidays or not.
Lindsay would love to know. She could go. You could go home for the holidays.
I could. But then I could make that decision, but that might, you know, making that decision might render me unable to make other decisions.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Picking up what I'm putting down.
There's lots of decision making.
This is true. I'm the best at that. You know this, Paul. That is my forte.
Yes. Listen,
besides playing goalie, obviously.
I know bingo callers with better decision making. B13.
Number four.
Okay, the Yankees and the White Sox will christen the field finally in Iowa. No, is this heaven?
No, it's not. It's Iowa.
It's Iowa, I guess. Today, the Field of Dreams game will move forward. It is scheduled for August the 12th of next year in Iowa. It'll face the Chicago White Sox. Will face the New York Yankees.
Boo! Don't keep going. Boo! You can talk about boo.
They built a temporary, not so temporary. It seems to be a permanent fixture right now because they built it for last year.
We'll get it next year.
An 8,000-seat ballpark next to the property that was used in the film. So the facility is literally just sitting there.
What else do things do in Iowa?
In the middle of this cornfield. I'm like, why didn't they just film Field of Dreams 2?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
His dad could come back through the cornfield. I'm back.
Like, that's dad's of the corn, like, instead of the
he'd
children.
Like, he'd be like, why?
Why are you in the corn?
Because Ernie Banks said, let's play 2.
I mean, I would like to get excited about this, but it's so far away, and it's also against, or it's between two teams that I just, not a fan.
Sure, why not?
So, I mean, if this can happen, that's great. August, you say, next year?
August.
Hopefully the field will still be there. Hasn't been taken over by the cows and all the other animals that live down in Iowa. Not a lot going on down there. They win football. They do that, yeah, though, Paul.
It's just weird. It's just sitting there. I'm like, they built this thing.
What else are they going to do?
I don't know. It just seems odd.
What's doing
it? They put up this
We're
base.
Supposed to stay at home.
I know we are. Wear your masks.
What is happening?
Wash your hands.
The Field of Dreams or Nightmares depends on the album.
Right. They could all come out of the corn again. What is it? Zombies?
Can you imagine just emerging and be like, hello. Right. We've been waiting here for a year. Hi. Brought me the popcorn and Cracker Jacks. We never got to make it quite back. Okay. Next story. No? Yeah? Okay, we're all just laughing.
She's just
at me.
Waiting
it's all
for
good.
Me. She's waiting for me.
Yeah,
to point.
Only you can
Jess
put up
is
the
waiting.
Signal.
Jess
I
is waiting
cannot
for me
wave
to point.
Them. Yeah, there it
Number
is.
Number 5.
Oh,
see?
Good see? For you.
There
all
it
the
is.
Power.
So you might remember the match. We've had the match twice now. This will be the third one that's coming up on Friday.
You're talking about golf match, right?
Yes, we're talking about golf. So the first one was Phil versus Tiger. That's all it was.
Shadow Creek in the shadows.
Phil and Tiger at Shadow Creek. That was in 2018. I remember that. It was really weird because it was the first time they were trying to sell subscription service to watch the match, and there were so many technical issues they just ended up throwing it on TV.
Yeah,
anyway.
You can't watch it on Shadow Creek because it's at Shadow Creek
right.
to begin with.
I'm like, there's like one bar.
So I was golf in the shadows.
Last year we had the Tom Brady, Manning, Woods, Phil, which was slightly more entertaining.
The Brady redemption shot, you say.
Yes. Now they're trying to make it a whole thing. So they're going to play in Arizona at one of the courses owned by Phil Mickelson. He's going to team up with Charles Barkley. Okay.
I love it.
To take on Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. So there's no Tiger Woods.
Phil better bring his best stuff that day, let me tell ya.
Right. Steph Curry, Peyton Manning, and apparently because of how bad Charles plays, they are actually going to have him play from a different set of tees.
The Chuck tees, Phil has coined them. A little bit more further up.
So it's kind of
the cold design.
So this is kind of a scramble, apparently, how they're playing.
They have to play a scramble with Charles.
He's basically, their deal is if he can hit the green and let him putt, that's the strategy.
They're only going to let him putt. That's amazing. Well, because, you know, other than the grip, the swing, and the follow through, his swing looks great.
Oh, my goodness.
It's awful. Look it up on YouTube if you haven't already.
It's like watching a German alarm clock that got hit by a sledgehammer.
Yeah, it's just a lot of apprehensive. Yeah, exactly. Starting and stopping. Are you going to go? And there's the contact. And it's in the hole. Just the wrong one.
Yeah, it's it could be interesting. The where they're playing Stone Canyon in Oro Valley. I've not played it. I've seen
it. Phil hasn't sent the invite over yet?
No, I've played some great courses in the Phoenix and in southern area, but not this one.
Maybe
because I can't afford it or something. I don't know.
Again, Phil, the invites must have gotten lost in the mail. We are waiting.
Listen, in 2018, when Phil was here, I shook his hand and said, "Dude, this is crazy." And
you shook Phil Mickelson's hand. Was it the right hand or the left?
It was. It's the traditional hand. Handshake. Remember when
does
you
it even
handshake?
Count then?
You can handshake, you know?
Well, if he's lefty and he shakes his hand with his right, I feel like that's false advertising.
It would just be odd if you did it that way.
What if you did both together? and like brought in the planes, you know, the ones with the glow sticks you bring the planes in when we used to be able to travel. Remember?
You could still travel.
That's true.
You can still travel.
That is technically true.
No, it said you can't travel.
Okay.
The guys are still going out there, the gals with the big glow sticks, as you call
That's
them.
That's true. They got to wave them in.
Right? They move the planes left and right.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't quite know.
Some people wield the power. You wield the power. That's why I was saying, are you familiar? Because you snap your fingers. Number five.
So this literally went from I shook Phil Mickelson's hand to the people that worked the tarmac at McCarran.
Yeah, welcome to only one day on the air with Lindsey Brown and Paul Eihander.
Yeah, it's
the Playmakers.
By the way, that match is Friday.
This Friday?
Yes.
It's, oh, good to know.
It's a Friday afternoon. So it's going to go up against UNLV Wyoming.
Which they've been is practicing.
Over at Allegiant.
They've been, you know,
who?
Scouting the course
Who's
as diligently as they were Augusta a couple of weeks ago.
All I do is look at the scorecard. You just look at the scorecard. Just Google it.
I'm just, okay. Maybe that's what you do for golf. Maybe that's why Phil hasn't invited us. Because you're not willing to put in the work for the preparation that deems us worthy to play said course with Charles.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe we all are just our own worst enemy in our own way.
That's probably
it's it. Just the dreams. They're right there, Paul. All we have to do is push ourselves to the side.
There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. The Raiders, in the last hour, have claimed Tack McKinley off of waivers from the 49ers. He's the one who's failed a couple of physicals. He's going to come here for COVID tests, but that could help.
Get those knees up.
Could help the defensive front for the Raiders as they try to get their defense going. Let's put it that way.
Right on.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk some quarterbacking with former Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretto.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Eihander, Lindsey Brown with you on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for making us a part of your drive around town, probably to happy hour or something, usually.
Happiest of hours usually, to all of you.
Usually how it works here in Las Vegas in Southern Nevada.
This is true.
Our next guest is a Heisman Trophy winner, also a College Football Hall of Famer. He also runs Touchdown Radio, which offers a NCAA College Football Game of the Week on national radio, of which we have taken many of those games. He's also a guy who knows his stuff, especially when it comes to QB1. Gino Toretto, welcome back to the program, friend.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good, Gino. I don't know if we asked you this the last time we had you on because it's been a while, but I'm sure that they give you a copy of your Heisman Trophy. Do you have that on display kind of always, or is it something that you break out for the holidays, like, you know, carving up the turkey? We need him to watch and to, you know, witness such a feat.
It is on a bookcase in the house, but it's been known to travel on occasion if I have some friends or people are trying to raise money for charity or whatever. I can put it in a little case and check it as luggage and bring it on a plane with me if I have to go somewhere.
Who knew it was travel size? You learn something new every day, Paul.
Gino Toretto with us here on the Playmakers. Gino, let me ask you, first of all, when you see the situation that involves Joe Burrow and you look at that recovery that, you know, he has to go through in order to play football and take meaningful snaps again, how hard do you think that'll be for him?
Well, I think it's any injury for an athlete is hard. I think I would say now, obviously, the surgeries are a lot better than they were way back when. I think probably before it would have been, you know, hey, your career is over with. But you know, I think that obviously there's been very serious injuries that guys have had a chance to come back from. It's just, you know, it's going to be a tough road, but you know, I think that you know, he's got the moxie and the makeup to you know, basically put it in, because it's probably going to be the hardest work. You know, I mean, it's hard getting to the NFL, but anytime you have an injury like that, whether you're in college or in the NFL, that's by far the hardest work coming back from it.
For all the strides that we've made in the medical community, the surgery point that you make, I think, is 100% true. And I want to talk to you about a different type of recovery, one that doesn't require surgery, or at least physical surgery. But where are you at with Carson Wentz? Because he's going to have to go through a little bit of a recovery of his confidence, of the confidence of the fan base in him as a starting quarterback for the Eagles. Is he still the starting quarterback for the Eagles in your mind? Or would you give Jalen Hurts a look if you're Doug Peterson?
Well, I think if you're looking to Hurts, I would probably say your priorities on offense are changing a little bit. I mean, you know, Hurts is a little bit different athlete than Carson is at this point. I think that, you know, The quarterback position is the only position on the field where you have to rely on 10 other players around you to do their job for you to look good. And when that happens, you get all the credit. But if things aren't going well, you get the majority of the blame. So I think I'd probably point to a lot of things that have happened with the Eagles and personnel and talent around Wentz, and then add in a injury and things like that. I think that you know, those are the kinds of things probably why he struggled a little bit more than normal. But you know, I think he's a heck of a player. I just think that, you know, that league, there's such a difference between, you know, being right on and getting to the Super Bowl and not being very good. And it sometimes it's just the pieces of the puzzle you got aren't right. And that's both offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Take us inside the head of a quarterback who has to go through those motions. It can't be easy to try to ignore the naysayers. Nobody can put themselves in a complete bubble when it comes to their critics and even those who support them.
I would say this. I think I was always harder on myself than any critic or any article written about me. So I think that, you know, thinking that any guy in the National Football League or College League are fragile and worried about when somebody says, I think that if you're a competitor, you're harder on yourself than any other person that's going to evaluate you and write something about you. So I'm sure that, you know, Carson's going through those same things and putting pressure on himself. But, you know, you need guys to step up and make plays around you, because, you know, that's the only way you're, you know, I mean, that conference or that division is just awful within the NFL. So, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks that have had bad years or struggled a little bit.
Absolutely, Gino. And I played goalie in hockey, so I kind of understand the being hard on yourself to a fault type of mentality. How long did it take you to kind of learn that nuance? Because you can use that to, you know, really drive your competitive fire. But we all know what that dark place is when you're getting too much on top of yourself, too negative, too overly critical. When did you learn what that sounded like in your head? And what did you do to steer away from those type of thought processes?
Well, I chuckle because it didn't take long, but it was probably mostly from my mother, who was very hard on me and my brothers from the standpoint of, let me just put it to you this way. I think we played Houston my junior year, and they had David Klingler, who was supposed to be a front runner for the Heisman. I had thrown 4 touchdown passes in the first half. We smoked them 35-10 or 42-10 or something like this. And after the game, my mom said, you know, you weren't even 50% completion. So back to Little League, she was that critical.
You can give more, right? You know that you can do better. You can play better.
You know, and you go back, like you say, whether you're in the goal at hockey where there's like 12 parents in the stands, or Little League and there's like, you know, 20 people in the stands and they're 15 feet from you and you strike out, and the only person you hear is your mom. Oh, my God, I can't believe you. So, it was at a young age, I guess, I was critical. So to make sure I was successful, I guess.
College Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta joining us here on the Playmakers, Paul and Lindsay, on this Monday afternoon. In your neck of the woods in Miami, there was a quarterback change that was made several weeks ago, moving from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tua, and now yesterday, during yesterday's game, where Tua was sacked 6 times, in which I watched that game, and he looked fairly ineffective. I don't know if that was, again, the 10 guys around him, but it didn't look like he was executing, and head coach Brian Flores pulled him out of the game. Does it send some mixed signals right now? Because Fitzpatrick was playing pretty well, gave way to Tua. Tua struggles in 3/4 of a game and gets pulled for Fitzpatrick.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, the Dolphins have put themselves in a situation where they have a chance to, you know, get to the playoffs, and they run 5 games in a row before that. Tua had played well. He just struggled in the game, and that's going to happen at a young age. And maybe the D coordinator, you know, had made all the right decisions and it changed it up enough, and Coach Flores wasn't happy with the adjustments or lack of adjustments that Tua made within the game plan. And then obviously with Fitzpatrick and his experience, you know, felt like put him in. But I don't think there's any question that anybody here in Miami is thinking that Tua is not the long term for this team.
Another team that's had to make a lot of adjustments over the last couple seasons at the quarterback position are the Saints. You know, they've done really well whenever Drew Brees hasn't played. They were undefeated last year under Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill got his first win in his first start against the Falcons. It was the Falcons. But how do you think that he looked last night, and how do you feel about his kind of tenure to smooth over getting back to Drew Brees this year, as well as his future or potential future as the Saints starting quarterback?
Well, I think he's played well. I mean, to go from kind of a utility guy, I guess, you know, while he got his opportunity, and then for Peyton to utilize him in that way, you know, and to, you know, be taking reps even when Brees was healthy. Now Brees is injured and he's starting, and listen, when you sign players and you give them a significant amount of money, you're not signing them to those big deals to sit the bench. And I think that Peyton's comfortable in him running his offense, and you know, he's been successful, and you know, I think that I would look at it that, you know, he's played well, and he's earned that opportunity, because those guys are, you know, Coach Peyton and his staff have obviously watched a lot more film and watched him play in practice over the last couple of years, that you know, they're comfortable putting him under center, and they got a best chance to win.
Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Famer Gino Toretta joining us here on the Playmakers. I do want to talk some college football with you here, Gino. You've had eyes on Kyle Trask at Florida. Is he the real deal, or is he just kind of the latest kind of 15 minutes of fame player here for the Gators?
No, I think he's a real deal. I think that you're seeing a player that, you know, he backed up Derek King, who's the quarterback here at Miami now in high school. And didn't transfer, probably, you know, could have transferred to another high school in Houston and started somewhere, but didn't want to do that. Stayed at his high school, backed up Derek King. He comes to Florida, you know, on scholarship. He's backing up Franks initially, and then really is kind of beating him out. And I think it's just a situation where the guy has started getting more reps, and he's gotten better with the more reps. He's gotten more consistent with more reps, and I think that you know, it's the experience at that quarterback position is so important, and I think it's just him finally, you know, getting those game reps, and you know, he's been phenomenal. He's been lights out for Florida, and you know, he's got a few tests, you know, down the road. Obviously, you know, hopefully they get to the SEC championship game, and we'll see where that, you know, ends up. But yeah, he's the real deal this year.
My next question is kind of an in-between between college football and pros, because we've seen so much success from young quarterbacks in the league in the last few years, and I think it's really indicative of a different type of onboarding process, a lot more collaborative coaching style. Do you think that starts with just the fact that, you know, we're starting to run college-type offenses at such a young age, or is it the fact that the NFL is saying, hey, these are the systems that these types of quarterbacks are running, and so for the first couple of years of their career, we're going to make it easy, take half and half, and then slowly implement them into the NFL game? Which side do you fall on?
Well, I don't know if the scheme's any easier. I think what you know, defensively, obviously there's a lot less contact in the NFL than there was defensively by, you know, defensive backs on the receivers, which makes the quick passing game a lot easier to ramp up. There's obviously the at the line of scrimmage and just running plays, like, you know, the Clemsons of the world running, you know, 90 plays a game, and the defense just, you know, runs out of gas in the NFL. I mean, you only got 53 guys on the roster, so not a lot of substitution, and I think that it's embarking on, you know, it used to be, you know, at least when I played, probably the best athlete, you know, Marcus Allen of the world or Bo Jackson, that guy played tailback, and you could toss him the ball 25, 30 times a game. Well, now you got a generation of kids like a Lamar Jackson that, you know what, we want him to touch the ball every single play, and now he's the quarterback. So you have players and quarterbacks that have developed. They're not only great throwers, but they're probably, you know, if not the best athlete on the team, one of the best athletes on the team. And you know what? They've played quarterback from, you know, a very young age. So they're just, you know, it's like, you know, like riding a bicycle. They get to the NFL, it's just, hey, this is just an older league. It's in the, you know, it's fine. I'm gonna be, great. And I think that's what you're seeing, whether it's, Kyler Murray or Lamar and these younger guys that are playing, they're used to, those kinds of game plans. And finally, the NFL and the offensive guys in the NFL are, going to more spread out situations. And even the old guys, I mean, look at Brady. Brady's, spreading the field and running really the same offense. He's just not a running threat out of the backfield.
College Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, Gino Toretta here with the Playmakers. Gino, Trevor Lawrence has been sitting for 3 weeks now. Coronavirus has clearly taken its toll on the college football landscape. For a guy like him who was highly touted and is still, rumored or at least projected to be a number one or number two overall pick in the NFL, how does the downtime affect him? Or is this actually, for him, because he does have a quality coach in Dabo Swinney, that it's about, getting as many mental reps as possible and he'll just have a chance to basically work out the kinks on the field if they actually come back and play?
Yeah, I don't think they're he's worried about the mental reps. I mean, he's started enough games. I think it's, the live action is a little bit different. I wouldn't be too concerned. I mean, projection to be number one, he's going to be the number one pick. He would have been the number one pick last year. He'll be the number one pick this year. And I think it's just a matter of, heck, they flew to Tallahassee. They're ready to play, and then they call the game, and they're in the pregame meal getting ready to go to the stadium. So I think he's just a phenomenal talent. I think probably the layoff is just, it's disappointing from the standpoint as we are college football fans and the Heisman Trophy, where the college football playoff rankings, what all that's going to map out. And, two guys, whether it's Justin Fields at Ohio State, whether it's Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, two of the guys in the mix for the Heisman, and, they've had multiple weeks off, and you're like, okay, are we going to make it through this? Are they going to have enough games, enough film on tape? Not necessarily for the National Football League. They'll get their film. It's more of, what's that look like at the end of the year for, when the ballots go out for the Heisman?
Well, Gino, based off of what you told us a little bit about your upbringing and how you approached the game, or at least your mom's pushing of you during your play, if you're a 12, 13-year-old kid at home right now and you're a football player, specifically a quarterback, and there's no football for you right now and there's not a whole lot of friends for you to throw to, how do you keep getting better every day? What would you do around your house that would keep that edge and that drive, even on the days that you couldn't, play with your teammates, but you wanted to make yourself better?
Well, I think now you just work on pure fundamentals, and that's you can go out on a field yourself. You can drop back. You can, pretend taking a snap, taking 3-step drops, 5-step drops, and just basically honing your craft and with the fundamental side. You can also, as far as throwing, you don't have to always throw to a moving target. You can tell. I mean, I used to tell, my brothers or whatever, they weren't running routes for me, but I was like, stand here, or I'll stand here, turn to the inside, pretend I was throwing a slant route, throw a 3-step drop, and all of those things, you can work on your own fundamentals. And that's what I would do, it just over and over, because once you have that stuff ingrained in your head, that becomes second nature. And then you're worried about the play call, you're worried about what the defense is doing, and you're not worrying about, okay, what's my footwork on 90, or what's my footwork on 71X play, or whatever it is. You already have that down. You're worried about the next level. But so I think if it was me, I would just be, worried about fundamentals, dropping back. I mean, dropping back in a straight line. How am I, am I dropping back crooked? How am I setting up? Where's my ball position? All those kinds of things. You don't need anybody but yourself to make you better on the fundamental side.
Some good advice there from Gino Toretta, Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer. Gino, before we let you go, we've been seeing all the commercials with the Heisman House. Do they give you a key for that place, or have they invited you over for a party yet?
I was there a couple of years ago. I would say this: I would love a key to that place, because it's a nice house overlooking the valley and the Rose Bowl. And let me put it to you this way: it's some expensive real estate up there.
Well, if you ever get a key, Gino, you know where to send the invite if you're having a house party.
It sounds like a plan.
College Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner, Gino Toretta here with us on the Playmakers. Gino, we appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime.
Gino Toretta, former Heisman Trophy winner. Great to catch up with him, talk some quarterbacking with him and some fundamentals as well. Always good to get his insight because, you know,
anytime you get a legend's insight, it's great.
He does have that traveling trophy, as you like to say now.
Exactly. And that's how I'm going to refer to it henceforth, the traveling trophy of football. There we go. Branding. You don't need it anymore.
Truth.
Exactly.
The NBA has had a pretty big free agency weekend, and those signings have continued into this afternoon. Some big names inking some deals. We'll go into that next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Monday afternoon. Just want to say thanks again to Gino Toretta for hanging out with us there for a bit. Getting some insight on quarterbacking. If you want to listen to that interview again, we do podcast the show. It's available at CBSSportsRadio1140.com. You can subscribe. You can also listen back to the interview with the Radio.com Rewind feature through the Radio.com app, which is free through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Stick it on your smartphone, and then to favorite us, search out CBS Sports Radio at 1140 and hit the
heart
in the upper portion of screen. The NBA, a big free agency period and a lot of signings. And a lot of contract extensions just today. DeMarcus Cousins, remember him? Sat out all of last year. He is back with the Houston Rockets on a one-year deal.
All right, because he blew out his Achilles again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one-year deal there. Harden and Westbrook are still on that team,
they're
right?
Still
despite
on the team.
All the rumors.
Yes, they're still on that team. No trades. Nothing has happened. Cleveland Cavaliers signed Matthew Dellavedova. You might remember him.
Mr. Homecoming we've all been waiting for.
Mr. Role Player Extraordinaire.
I could not. Because remember when they won that championship, that was right before the offseason, before they got the big time ESPN, you know, TV rights money. Yeah. And I think he signed some deal for like 60 something million. You're like, Dellavedova off the bench. And I'm pretty sure it was with the Lakers. Pretty damn sure. So,
yeah,
I mean, they brought him in and they let Tristan Thompson walk.
Yeah.
To Boston, if I'm not correct.
Yep, gone.
Or if I should say, I am correct. I'm
gone.
Correct.
Gordon times. Hayward signing with the Hornets. That was like a...
Holy cannoli, what a deal.
That surprised me a ton.
Really?
It really did.
Why?
And I'm like, because I wasn't exactly sure what they were looking for.
They're looking for him to decide to be in Charlotte.
Well,
that's what that deal is.
That's 4 years, so he's going to get paid no matter what.
Correct.
And they've just got themselves LaMelo Ball, which, okay. And then Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Okay.
Sure.
Nick Batum. Okay.
They're starting a new song and dance, Michael Jordan
it's
is.
Role players and role players upon role
Gordon
players.
Hayward is not a role player.
Well, no, he just became option
one. He's $120 million
player. He just became option one in Charlotte.
Well, and we don't know what the youngest Ball is working with. And I think what a lot of teams do towards the top of the draft, and this is why you're towards the top of the draft, because you're a bad team, is that you don't surround those stars with as much talent as you probably should early on in their career when they need, you know, a few more water wingies to keep them afloat. And I think that's what Gordon Hayward and why you pay him. Like, is he worth $120 million? No. Especially coming off the injuries that he sustained over the last few years. But to make sure that you don't want just any security blanket. You want that one. So you're going to go pay for that one. And that's what Michael Jordan did.
Yeah, well, he's no longer into the Boston spotlight. The Charlotte spotlight is much softer.
They have better colors, to be honest.
There's no doubt about that. Rajon Rondo going to go play for the Hawks.
I was kind of surprised of him picking up and leaving L.A., but remember, he kind of like dropped in on that championship roster because he had a couple of opt-outs. So it wasn't like he was there long-term to begin with.
Right, this was just for him.
He just wanted to go help Trey.
Yeah, essentially. But he's a defender. They need defense.
Right,
in
well, because he's not a bit... Well, he did shoot really well in the final.
He did.
And they're bringing Chris Dunn in from the Bulls
And Gallinari, too.
All right. And so, Chris Dunn is an athletic freak and a half.
Yeah, so they've got three
free
agents with Young. Yeah, they're leading. But they did lose Paul Millsap, who went back to Denver.
They scream like Utah Jazz from like 3 years ago to me, that Atlanta Hawks roster right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're trying to build the foundation until you're ready to take that step and go, you know, throw the line in the pond for the big time free agents. And if you have a year where you kind of surprise yourself this year, maybe Atlanta is a destination for the big time free agent class that's supposed to hit next summer.
You suppose. It will not be some of these rookies though that all sign max deals. Donovan Mitchell, who's going to get the max in Utah? Jason Tatum going to get the max in Boston. De'Aaron Fox, who is
also a person,
but he's never with Sacramento. He has not an all-star.
He's in Sacramento.
Fox is a hell of a player, but
he has no one.
Boy, he could use a supporting cast
like
there.
Like Cousins still being in Sacramento. I know it's been a few years.
He's got Buddy Hield, and that's about it.
Buddy Hield.
He's a shooter.
Oh, my goodness.
A flat-out shooter.
I know, but come on.
Well, no, but yeah, I mean, that's the backcourt.
That's it.
That's
it. He was a four-year college player for a reason, Paul.
That's Sacramento.
Huh.
The Clippers end up getting Serge Ibaka.
He did tweet. You know, he was up in the air in the plane. He goes, on my way to ellipses, ...
Right.
He was on his way to the Clippers. Do you think his addition to that roster is enough leadership shake some...
It's just depth. That's all that
I know,
is.
But you're still being led by Kawhi and Paul George, whose leadership don't exactly, like, inspire greatness.
It's depth. He's just a versatile guy. And
well, because they lost their other guy who won sixth man of the year, right? Because he's like, you know what?
Harold just went across the street.
I don't want to change my address, but I do want to change which side of the building I walk into the Staples Center's in.
Right. Well,
that was Harrell. He signed with the Lakers.
Go chasing ring, but that's what that is. Go chase ring.
They're running it back. How good does that team look like right now?
They look very good.
And they don't even have Anthony Davis signed yet, technically.
And they got Wes Matthews, who can shoot.
Yep.
Caldwell Pope staying home with the Lakers.
That's huge for them, too, don't you think? Because he's good defensively as well.
I think so, too.
Top.
Yeah,
And he can sink the threes randomly.
Lakers did not get weak.
No,
in the
they got better.
They did get better. I agree with you. They got better. And maybe can take some of the load off LeBron, who, as they know, and again, you know what, for the Lakers, and knowing that this season is coming very quickly here in the next 4 weeks, it's probably good that they have some of these shooters where he won't have to do as much, and other teams will find themselves in that same situation.
Especially if he's going to be taking some more time off towards the beginning of the season, which has been rumored because they weren't super pumped about how quickly they are getting back to that start.
Sure. He only has to play 24 minutes a night and let the rest of the team kind of carry him.
Right. And last year, to be totally honest, even though they end up winning the championship, I don't know if they win that championship if it's played it under normal circumstances, because I think there are better teams. But now you're banking on the fact that, well, we won one early, and now everybody wants to come over to our birthday party, so let's invite him in and make sure that we do have that chance to go for another, because he's in striking distance.
Right.
He is. So why not go for it? Why not?
Yeah.
I like it.
So lots of moves in the NBA, and those are some of the bigger ones, and we're still seeing more signings coming up. Coming up next, in Phoenix right now, there is hockey being played at the highest level.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay here with you on this Monday. You know, with all the regional sports networks and, you know, sports channels looking for some programming with all the COVID that's out there.
Any content that you might have, send it our way.
I mean, we sat through months of cornhole and Kazakhstan kick fighting.
Yeah.
But in Phoenix, just 4 hours away, they could pretty much, this would be like watching the NFL Combine, I think. They could just train a camera on the ice, let these guys skate around, and just talk for like 2 hours. Apparently, in the Phoenix area, there is a kind of like warm-up, impromptu training camp, which involves Arizona native Austin Matthews.
Yep.
And who just showed up a couple of weeks ago, Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
And they skate together four times a week. And apparently, word got out.
It usually does when it comes to these off-season training kind of pools of talent. And it's just, it's not very often that you would see it happen in Arizona, but because of Austin Matthews and him being from there, that's been a much bigger destination. And it's just, everybody likes going out. You skate in the morning, go hit the links for a couple hours and head back to the rink at night. But when you have Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, you know, putting in the work together, and this isn't just, you know, we're just going to do our shooting drills. Like, this is hardcore stuff that's, you know, the minutia. We're going to catch all these passes in our backhand, and then you're going to shoot it from this face-off dot within this many feet, and you're going to go to the blocker side at this angle. Like, that's how specific these guys are, because that's how good they are. And when you're in that group, you're skating around, that gets everybody around just better. It takes you to a whole new level. And when you have, you know, Shane Doan running the practice, and honestly, if whoever has to play goalie, which ended up to be, you know, Peter Budaj, who's been retired for just over a year, and doing the true goalie retirement plan where I've only put on my stuff once in the last 15 months because we need that much of a break. But I'm just like, what an absolute dumpster fire this would be to be a goalie. And because when they're working on those shots, and Connor McDavid's the best overall hockey player in the world, Auston Matthews has is definitely up there for the shot. And it's just because he has a very unique nature in which he gets that shot off of what his body looks like, the trajectory and angle. He doesn't have to shoot that hard because it just looks so much different than everybody else's. And that's reminiscent of what we see from like Alexander Ovechkin when he takes one-timers from his office in that face-off circle. But, you know, when you see these types of names, you're like, oh, you want to go play pickup games? You want to play some three-on-three down low with these guys? Hand is up. Hand is up. And, you know, they're only a few weeks, allegedly, from the season starting in. Sure. If they ever decide to say, hey, we're going to start Jan 1. But, you know, you got to get that work in. It never stops.
It's just interesting, you know, that some of the world's best hockey players right now are just sitting on a small patch of ice indoors in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Getting reps in with each other.
Yeah. And ripping goals past Peter Buttigieg. Just going bar down, bar down. Inspire confidence in that goaltender down there. No
blow
thanks.
The doors off there. And,
yeah.
You know, they're playing. They actually have defensemen that are trying to skate with them, too. Matt Dumba's working out with them.
Oh, he can keep up, too. But that's what I mean, Paul. Just think of how big of a name he's going to be in this league over the next couple years. Because he's probably he's a right shot defenseman who knows how to put the puck in the net. He's going to be at the top of every single trade bait list for the next couple years. Oh, you guys skated together in the summertime. Do you remember all those goals we used to score together? You should come do that in the wintertime with us too. You know what? You might be right. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Let's make that trade happen, shall we?
Well, you know, any way you can get a workout in for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd watch it. I'd watch it for sure. Football 4 on the way as the Playmakers rolls on.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number 2 of the Playmakers. Paul Eihander here on the west side of the desk, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is the sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
What is up, my dudes?
And a full second hour coming your way here, our Football at 4 segment. I got a lot of stuff to unload for you, including some John Gruden audio, as well as a chat about the NHLers. There's a power play for those under the age of 25. We just got done talking about a couple of them just a few moments ago, and some tales from the road as many of you head out on the roads and make the road trip for wherever you might be headed for Thanksgiving. Maybe it's just to the store.
Your house.
Yeah, maybe it's just to the store. 15 minutes there, 15 minutes there, but, you know, some road trip stuff from back in the day, some stories we're going to share here between me and Lindsey. We do have some breaking news here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. The folks behind Jeopardy say they are going to resume production on November 30th with a series of interim guest hosts from the Jeopardy family, and it will begin with Ken Jennings. He'll be the
So it's an audition
he'll
to
be,
end the year.
He will be the first of apparently a number of interim guest hosts as Jeopardy comes back in terms of filming. Now, the Alex Trebek, who passed away earlier this month, those episodes will run through Christmas. So they're going to start shooting some more, and who knows that'll be on this list. Maybe Will Ferrell will get a shot and
maybe
do a little homage to Alex Trebek.
Honestly, I think it would be great, but it might be just a little bit too early.
Well,
Alex, or at least that's why they start with Ken.
Alex always thought the game was bigger than anybody else.
This is true, but I'm just saying, are you saying Will comes out as Will or Will comes out as Alex?
He just comes out as him.
Okay.
And then maybe does a little sly nod to Alex.
Sure.
Without, you know, Will can be respectful.
That is for SNL. You're
Will
right.
Will can be respectful,
you're,
too.
Yes, you're very right.
You don't have to put the, you know, he understands the magnitude. Well, he's a goofball in general. And been a while since we've seen a really good movie from Will Ferrell.
How dare you say that?
When's the last time we had a good movie from Will Ferrell?
I don't know. Step Brothers. I know that's probably, 2005-ish.
American actor,
for activities.
American actor Will Ferrell, who is now known more for his soccer love and love for sports these days.
I did watch Kicking and Screaming again a couple of weeks ago. It always is a nice little refresher, him and Ditka.
What do you want to say? Literally like Lego movie.
I haven't seen Lego 2. Movie. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Like, he was in that one. Let's see.
It's been a while.
Lego Movie. It wasn't even him.
Blades of Glory is probably, and he was like,
07.
Oh, that's 07. Was I right about Step Brothers? Is that 05?
08.
What?
After Blades of Glory.
God. How dare I? How dare I not have this filmography memorized?
Ferrell had that run of movies there that was just strong.
Like Anchorman, Blades of Glory, Step Brothers. Then you had that cameo on The Office.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights.
In the middle of all that.
I don't love that movie as much as a lot of people do, but I know it's still
is.
You're not first. That's all Will Ferrell movies, but like that one is the most quotable, but the least interesting story to me.
And then like, he did Megamind, again, which wasn't him.
No, it was Steve.
But it was a cartoon. Yeah, that was Steve Carell. It was a cartoon. So, Lego Movie, really. That
or
was like
Rick Tamblyn.
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman 2 was still 7 years ago.
That was, oh my land.
That was 7 years ago.
Oh, why isn't time stopping? I thought it was supposed to stop at like 26.
I mean, he's done some sketch stuff. I mean, he did Drunk History and
he's got nothing but mailbox money.
Yeah,
I would rather him do less and take a more careful shot and have a home run opportunity than what he was doing about 10 years ago. He was like, yep, Land of the Lost or whatever. It was like a $1 billion movie.
Lost. That was 2009.
Everything. But it was all CGI. It was before CGI, before we had the terabytes in the cloud. We just had the gigabytes.
Yeah, they did.
iPods are still shuffling.
They did two Daddy's Home movies.
Oh no, because Mark Wahlberg's involved. So they're like, he has muscles. Put him in the film.
But that was like doing two Zoolanders. Did we need two Zoolanders?
Well, at least that one was like,
and it was
it's
15
different.
Years.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
15
years
after
the
first
movie,
one.
The only movie that has lived up to that gap so far for me, at least this year, Paul, Borat. Have you watched the second one yet?
Borat, it was
I didn't think you could get more shock value than the first one, and that is hot. That's hard to do considering when that film came out in the early aughts, and we knew who he was.
Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen is just he's kind of oil and vinegar for me. I like him, and then I don't like him.
The fact that I was still surprised and as entertained as I was by that second film, almost nearly as much as the first time I saw the first one. I'm like, that considering what we've gone through and how shocked we are these days, or I should say, lack of shock that we experience. Good for you.
Clearly not Will Ferrell though. So no. Will, come on, man. Let's
come on,
this
man.
Happen.
Come on, Will. He's doing the Anchorman podcast, isn't he?
It's still not.
It's still not good. You're right.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's, you know, swings and swings.
He has kids too.
You keep swinging and swinging and swinging.
One of his kids' name is Magnus.
We know him more for being a Major League Soccer owner now.
Mm, yeah.
He and Mia Hamm and Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Huge USC fan as well.
Don't care.
Okay. All right. That ends our Will Ferrell's fandom
USC,
segment
right
here on the Playmakers.
Meh.
Your home for all aughts comedies.
It's time for football at 4.
Oh, the footiest of football. I bet if Will Ferrell put some pads on, he'd do okay, but only at the tight end position, but maybe the fullback.
Raiders lost last night 35-31 to Kansas City. They will play Atlanta this Sunday in the ATL.
I mean,
so they're going to be gone
for a couple
of weeks.
If you're going to lose, Paul, you're losing to the best score there is.
It's probably the only loss that I've seen in recent history.
That you're okay with?
I'm not saying I'm okay with a loss. No one's okay with a loss. But they've gotten so much good rub from this loss because everybody realized.
Moral victory.
Well, it's like everyone kind of forgot that they were here. And it was like, and no, what I'm saying is that, you know, the national talk and the media, just like when you talked about the Raiders, like, yeah, Raider Nation. But it was like this kind of almost like provincial talk about Raider Nation. It was like, yes, they're there in
the
Las Vegas.
The past.
And yes, they play football. And yes, they're there. But they got their butts handed to them by Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of went, yeah, Tampa kind of steamrolled them. And everyone kind of forgot about them. And then they quietly strung three together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came out last night and, you know, threw up their best. I mean, they tried to make everything stick to the wall, but Mahomes had too much time. Head coach John Gruden talked about a defense. He was asked specifically, did anybody stand out? And here it is, because I got to stop it. This is on me.
Would you like me to tap dance around like people
are
tap dancing around the line?
I have to close down a window and then open up a new window to make sure that nothing is playing behind said window.
What about the wall, though?
Here it is.
We didn't play well enough on defense, and we can make a lot of excuses and legitimate excuses for that. We're missing some key players. We have a young secondary. We had guys that didn't practice. We played the world champions coming off a bye week. We can make all kind of excuses, but we gave up 36 first downs, and we didn't get it done. We got to play a lot better because Atlanta, The team we're about to play is capable of doing the same thing. They're very talented.
Atlanta's capable of doing 36 first downs, but yeah, that was a lot of first downs, and I think that was a team record for Kansas City. And as we've learned the last couple seasons, a lot of those have been fallen as of late. So it must have been a real banner night for the old sticks,
right?
And the people that hold them.
He holds the Falcons in high esteem. He and Raheem Morris have history. He loves Raheem Morris. Knows Matt Ryan can go. He said this specifically in his press conference. Todd Gurley talked about the team. He says, you know, we can't overlook these guys, because if we do, we're going to find ourselves 6-5 as opposed to 6-4.
I agree with the non-overlooking. I don't agree with saying this is exactly what Atlanta could do to us. I don't agree with that line, but you got to say that if you're John Gruden, especially if you're following up all the messaging that you had, where I didn't think that the defense was nearly as offensive as it is in this clip of him and from reaction from a lot of people, because like you said, you have the world champions and that you played against. Patrick Mahomes is an absolute just anomaly. You didn't have practice really normal all week because people were out and on the COVID list, and you're dealing with a ton of injuries. So the fact that you only gave up 35 to that team, I think, is a little bit of a moral victory, and I hate those. But yeah, there's room for improvement. But the fact that you did pester Mahomes and you didn't have any of the running, you know, names that are throughout their stable on the Chiefs side hit more than 100 yards, at least on the ground.
I think he's just looking at the fact that they limited the Broncos to 12 in the week prior. And the Chiefs,
because it's Drew Lock and the Broncos.
And they're two different teams. They are two different teams. But Drew Lock and the Broncos just beat the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. And I bet you which side of the ball does John Gruden call? It's the offense, right? Based off of the performance that we saw from Derek Carr and so many other people on that side, there has to be a little bit of sour taste. We're like, really? You guys played them so well all game, and then that final drive, you know, because all of those drives were super sustained, Paul. They were super long. But the last one, the game-winning drive took like 30 seconds, and they went like 70 yards.
Sure.
That was more of, I think, probably where the disappointment. Just give it a little bit more of a fight, especially since it's Jason Witten catching a touchdown pass for the first time in this decade.
The crazy part about the Chiefs is that if they ran hurry up, they could put up 70.
This is true.
They moved last night.
This is true.
In that final drive, it was hot knife.
Surgical, as Trent Dilfer would say.
Hot knife through butter getting prepared for baking. I mean, that's just what it was.
That's why they're world champions and we're not.
And that's why the Chiefs are the number 2 seed right now in the AFC. Interestingly enough, you know, the Raiders do find themselves in the playoff position to make the playoffs right now. They do have a pretty steady schedule moving forward. Falcons and Jets next 2 weeks. They are on the road, but it is the Falcons and the Jets. And then a big test at home, fortunately, is Indianapolis on December 13th. So at least they would have, you know, be able to sleep in their own beds,
right,
so to speak, for that
one. Well, it's a couple weeks out where you can kind of work things through and get a little bit breather against two opponents that you should beat. Needs you a lot to make sure that happens. But even the national crew last night was saying, yeah, that Indy game at home is pretty much the last, like, that seems like a pretty big type of opponent, considering what the Raiders have kind of faced in the first half of their season schedule.
Right, and what the Colts did yesterday.
Well, it was more like what Green Bay didn't do.
It's truth, but a win is a win.
This is
and for the Colts, you know, for them, that it's an important one, because in the, you know, you want to...
It's another notch in the belt.
It's the AFC, and, you know, we're putting up video game numbers in some cases right now this season, and for them to outlast Green Bay was...
And to top them, who they're considered to be, you know, one of the top two or three teams atop the NFC, to do that in overtime.
Sure, yeah, in OT.
And it creates more belief, more momentum, and more buy-in, you know, to the product that is the Colts led, or I should say the Phillip Rivers leading the Colts, you know, through whatever they're going to go through, because the Steelers are their biggest competition right now.
Yes. The Steelers are everybody's biggest competition right now.
But I kind of like Indy based off what I've seen over the Steelers, even though the Steelers did beat the Jags yesterday, 27-3.
And it wasn't even a close game.
Because it's the Jags.
That was the thing. It was 27-3. Jacksonville's, I mean, rollover puppy dog. There's no teeth. There are no fangs in Jacksonville.
No.
And, you know, the Jets, you know, who lost the LA Chargers yesterday, who put up
Herbie gets fully loaded, Paul. Are you excited that he finally got that?
They put up a good fight. Well, the Chargers have won the 3 games they're expected to win. They won three, and they beat Cincinnati in the opener.
Yeah.
They beat Jacksonville at home, and they just beat the Jets at home. Those are the three games they should have won. Everything else, they've been close games.
Well,
they've been trying to figure out how to close out those games.
And, I mean, Herbert kind of won Rookie of the Year, unfortunately, yesterday, didn't he?
I don't think there's any
question.
I don't think there's any discussion at this point.
No.
If he ends up playing a full, even if he doesn't end up playing a full season, the statistics alone, just his stat line is just too solid.
And he's been the most impressive eye test for me this season. Has he been for you?
If you look at, and again, I had a chance to watch that game yesterday where Tua got pulled in Denver, and Tua did not look comfortable at all. And, you know, maybe as, you know, Gino Toretta, who joined us in hour number one, you know, talked about, you know, being comfortable in the pocket, and quarterbacks are moving around, and he's seen Tua, you know, in person in Miami. He just didn't look comfortable. And maybe Denver dialed up something different that he hadn't seen. You know, he got pulled, but he doesn't look like the poised playmaker that Herbert is right now.
He also hasn't had the same amount of runway that Herbert has.
Yeah. No, he just
he had to earn that job.
The sample size is certainly a little bit smaller, but when you look at Herbert in the pocket, he looks comfortable.
Right.
He makes throws that a guy his size shouldn't be able to make, and it just shows you that, you know, he's cerebral. His team rallies behind him, and he's got plenty, and he does have more weapons. That is the truth.
Agreed.
He does have a lot more skill positions, but he's been working without a running back since week one.
Right. But he's also had, you know, three or four more games of big throw confidence that Tua has yet to have. And like you said, Justin has more weapons, has a little bit more of a go button with the scheme because he's earned it. He's shown the ability to hit those throws down the field. But people are, oh, the Tua, and even you to accept. I'm surprised how quickly you've swung on Tua of just being like, well, is he the guy? Or, just give him a second.
I'm not worried about if he's the guy. I'm sure he's the guy. I'm worried about the mix. What I talked with Gino about was the mixed messaging that happened, where they made a poll from Fitzpatrick, who was playing well, and then sat him, and they're letting Tua grow in the position. And Tua is the future of Miami.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, he was... That game wasn't out of reach when they pulled him.
But was he playing poorly?
He has just got sacked six times.
Right, but what does that say, though, if you don't pull him and he's playing poorly?
He wasn't playing poorly, though.
Okay. Well,
he wasn't
I'm just trying to get in the mindset of the coach.
I didn't understand why they pulled him. He wasn't moving the offense, so to speak.
Right.
But it wasn't like the game was out of reach. That game ended 20-13.
But isn't that what Flores said? He said the team needed a spark, and then he thought that Fitz could give him that because he hasn't played in a while, and you're just looking for a difference of tempo. Like, we've seen that pull happen in hockey a million times. It's not the goalie's fault. Yeah, they let in the four goals, but, you know, three of them were one-timers. The other one was a breakaway that went bar down. You're not going to blame
the goaltender. But it's the same argument for pulling Carson Wentz in terms of Jalen Hurts. Two different offenses get run when Fitzpatrick and Tua are in there.
Agreed.
The pacing's different. You're running different sets of plays. I don't see how putting Fitzpatrick in there was going to spark the Dolphins to a win over the Broncos. Just let Tua play. Let him play. If we're talking about giving him runway, then just give him the runway to do it. Don't go four games into a win streak. You're winning. I mean, you won four games in a row and back off from the decision that you made. It didn't feel right to me.
Well, I don't disagree, but there might be some in-game accountability that Flores is trying to get, because he's a Belichick guy, and when you're at that level and you're that type of culture where he's, you know, rebuilding it organically, sometimes if Tua is not getting the job done, or if he's not, you know, checking the boxes that you're supposed to, because it's not just, you know, about getting touchdowns, but okay, well, what type of touchdown did we get? This is so much more nuanced when you're talking coach to player. And if he wasn't getting it done, and he wasn't, this is how you hold him accountable. This is how you say, here's the kick in the pants, buddy, because we needed something better from you this week. I agree with you. This is mixed messaging considering what happened with Fitz earlier this year. But I'm also not one of those people that says, well, once you make the decision, if he's playing badly and the game's like whatever, and you're just ready to move on the next week, just to say, well, we're not going to pull him because that's going to create tension. Well, then you've made a much different decision in the first hand than you probably thought.
Well, if I can explain it away by just saying we needed a spark when they didn't. The game wasn't out of reach.
They didn't win, but what if they won?
Right, but I just don't see it. I mean, you pull quarterbacks in certain situations. I just didn't feel that was the right time for that to be made. I think he could have willed them to something. You're looking at comebacks and comebacks and comebacks. You know, Tom Brady's the king of comebacks. Pat Mahomes is the king of comebacks.
Did he look dejected? Did he look defeated when he was playing?
Tua?
Did he look like he was kind of done?
He just wasn't the explosive guy that I would have thought that I would have seen against that.
Do you think his teammates thought the same thing yesterday, too? They read him too well, so like different tempo. Maybe this is the scatter back.
Fitzpatrick wasn't the answer.
Well,
it wasn't.
Could have been the answer for the week. Who knows?
It could have been.
I appreciate shooting the shot,
but it wasn't. Carolina ripped Detroit 20-0. Matt Patricia still
has
his job. This is Adam Gase. This is Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia has 4 wins. Has 4 wins, and Adam Gase has none. And we're talking about Matt Patricia losing his job.
Well, because Matt Patricia isn't that fun of a guy, and he's not, you know...
Is the Patriot way just not the way? I mean, let's just be honest.
The Patriot way is not the way. The Patriot way sucks unless you're winning.
But Brian Flores is 6-4, and
unless you're winning,
Patriot.
Though. But unless you're winning... Paul, it's the same thing that we talk about all the time. Is it if you're losing, is it fun to get up every morning at 5:30 and go do your reps and lift heavy things and then put them down and then eat the same thing I've eaten every single... I'm just saying, we're all human beings. And just because you're making money, that's there for sure. But that's not what gets you up in the morning. So that's a hard thing to do. And that's saying without the winning, and that's without any sort of positive reinforcement, because the Patriot way, we know, is not built upon that. It's built on over accountability.
I think you could have run for more yards than Adrian Peterson.
I can coach him to more yards. I can tell you that right now. It's just called giving somebody a hug. Maybe not this year. What do you expect
yards.
From a 36-year-old running back who has a lot of miles?
He's it. That's the crazy thing. There isn't one better running back on the free agent market that could tote the mail in Detroit.
They paid their quarterback, so that's all they need to pay. That's what they did. That's what Detroit is.
Boy, he needs a change of pace too.
Well, that's what the organization is that we're willing to pay. You know, they find a quarterback guy, and they're like, well, we'll pay him. He's good if he makes enough throws. He throws enough comebacks usually each year where he can, you know, steal a couple of games here and there. But Patricia and his incompetence, his lack of kind of compromise and his hardcore coaching style, he doesn't have the locker room. How do you expect guys to want to grind out a win, or maybe just like have the field goal that the Buccaneers kicked a couple weeks ago against the Saints instead of having a goose egg? You think that team might want to erase that goose egg if they have a different coach on there? I think they do. I think they keep this exactly the way it is, just to let him run all the way out.
Man, if you have
they're
to,
quitting on that guy.
If you have to go to the fourth quarter and your final two possessions are turnovers on downs and you just can't get it going,
yeah.
Talk about a team that needed a change.
And
he inherited a
winning program.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not consistent in Detroit.
Is Marvin Lewis coaching anywhere? Because
yeah,
I think he could do better right now. Oh,
I mean, not
goodness.
Even Bieniemy might be successful there. That's
I don't
what
think
I mean. Is it?
Go. Don't go there, dude. Seriously, Eric, don't go there.
No. It's the Browns job from 6 years ago before Stefanski got there.
Oh, my goodness.
Stefanski is the Theo Epstein of football.
Yeah.
You watch.
Speaking of the Browns beat Philadelphia 22-17.
Oh.
I didn't watch this one.
I watched
I didn't touch this game. I did not touch this game. I knew it was raining there, so I take that back. I did watch some of it. It was raining. It was raining a lot. What is about Cleveland and raining? But they're 7-3.
It's Ohio. Nothing.
The Browns are 7-3.
Only the clouds cry in Cleveland.
It would take an epic collapse right now for the Browns.
They're 7-3, Paul.
Yes, they're 7-3.
Do they have a better record than Baltimore does right now? Or at least a tied record.
Yes, they do. They have a better record than Baltimore.
The Cleveland freaking Browns. You know who their coach was last year? Freddie Kitchens.
Correct. They got Nick Chubb back, and Nick Chubb went crazy.
And Myles Garrett wasn't even out there yesterday, and I don't think he's going to be out there this weekend either because he has COVID.
Yeah, he's out for another week. Baker was
okay.
He was okay, but he
Stefanski's a genius.
But he didn't have to go to one guy. He went to 6 different receivers.
And Chubb, 114, 20 carries. It's not the most efficient, but we're getting the job done.
You do what you just need to do to get.
The win this week.
Yeah, that's all this was.
Sometimes you got to call Fitzmagic.
That's all this one was. This was just get through this week.
Get the dub and move on with the Browns.
Yeah, but look, next week, Jaguars.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What if they get 10 wins?
Well, they got to go.
They
got to go through the Titans and the Ravens.
Well, the Titans don't look that impressive anymore, do they?
No, they don't. But you still have to. They're playing there. And it is still Tennessee.
I don't know.
And it's Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he ran them to a win.
Yeah,
he ran them to
still,
a win yesterday.
After they were showing his middle school tape, where still the size disparity seemed to be consistent with him in the NFL. And again, they needed that win. You know, that was a big time matchup of this week. It was that Ravens Titans game. And the Ravens, I'm real worried about. Not actually, because I don't really want that much to get. Like, I'm okay with them not being successful, but like, they're in a serious down spiral where this could not only ruin this year, this is how you ruin a quarterback's confidence, Paul.
Well,
this
is
a year where that could be completely derailed.
They just put every running back on the COVID list right now there.
Yeah.
And they play on Thursday.
They haven't been giving them much help anyways this season.
You know who doesn't look comfortable in the pocket? I said Tua doesn't look comfortable. Lamar Jackson
Dude.
Does not look comfortable in the pocket at all.
No, he has to be on the move. Which is fine, but if you don't have a good offensive line, or if your running game isn't, you know, there to at least make the defense stay a little bit more honest, and that includes, you know, the defensive backs and the defensive line themselves, like, there's just, how do you expect him to have any time to throw? Because they have the blockers and everything. They know exactly, they're one-dimensional.
I would move to, like, an air raid system.
Yeah.
Honestly,
oh my God, right?
Try something new there. Because the Ravens are getting figured out, and they were a preseason pick, and I had them going deep, too,
yeah,
in the playoffs. I think everybody did.
But that's what I mean. When you have a year like you did last year from Lamar Jackson, where he was such a breath of fresh air on top of what we saw from Patrick Mahomes the year before, I don't know if he's not the same talent that Patrick Mahomes is, so he has to have that next level study, that next level grind to be able to keep himself one step ahead, and I just don't know if he's figured out what that grind is, because it's only his second or third year in the league.
Right.
They might get him figured out before he gets himself figured out.
No,
that's a problem.
Hopefully one will catch up with the other. Washington over Cincinnati. We've talked about Burrow, obviously, ACL, MCL tear.
Thing that came out of that game.
Yeah, Washington did win. Alex Smith did get a victory. New Orleans over Atlanta, 24-9. Taysom Hill, who will now be a quarterback only in fantasy football leagues. Last week, everybody benefited because he got to play like eight positions.
Speaking of getting an edge.
Yeah. Felt like he was out there. And then finally, last night, which I finished watching, I was actually here at the studios because of the governor's press conference and covering that for our sister station.
Are you talking about the Cowboys Vikings?
I watched the end of the Dallas-Minnesota game, to where I commented to somebody, I think Lindsay's sitting at home dropping expletives at the end of this one.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, they've been playing so well. They're riding a three-game winning streak that they bulldozed through the NFC North, or at least that part of their schedule. Kirk Cousins has three touchdowns yesterday, you know, 314 yards. Dalvin Cook, 150. Like, this pretty much looks like a Vikings win. But the thing is that you had Andy Dalton looking respectable out there.
Andy Dalton looked like a 27-year-old Andy Dalton.
Exactly. He had three touchdowns, just one pick, and was only sacked once. And this is, speaking of a reeling team, the thing is, you know who's on that sideline for the Dallas Cowboys? Mike McCarthy. You know where he coached before for years? It was the Green Bay Packers. So him and the Mike Zimmer game plan have been very well acquainted with one another for a very long time. And just straight up, you know, kind of how what happened to the Raiders last night. You run out of time, run out of possessions.
Right.
And you make one more mistake, or they make one more play than you do. But either way, that was a game that they should have had. Especially for everybody's like, oh, are they stancing for a potential playoff run, or at least like knocking on said door to make themselves a little more respectable? Nope. It was fake respect.
Right.
It is that bad here, and you should have just lost those other games, and it's really not worth this anymore. And this makes me kind of sad for Kirk, because for once he was actually pretty good, but it's just one of those young defense days. No pressure, and I can't stop anybody when you're throwing at us. You're not going to have a fun time, especially against Andy Dalton.
Cowboys had a very Dallas Cowboys-esque game, a very traditional game from them. Zeke going over 100, and the Cowboys find themselves just a half game out of first place in the NFC East.
It's, what a joke. I hate the NFC East so much. I hate them.
That gives us plenty to talk about, for sure. All right, coming up next, there's a power ranking of the NHLers under the age of 25. We will dissect that list coming up.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Guests on the Playmakers, join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
How did your wealth go this weekend, Paul?
So, interestingly enough, so I did well on college football Saturday. I actually managed to go in, line up some numbers. Okay. Didn't bet some. Thought the number. Thought the Oregon number was too big against UCLA. I don't normally bet on my teams, but this year
you saw Chip Kelly standing across on the other sideline. You said, "Yep, we're going to win."
Yeah, we're going to win, but it's not going to be by that many points. I also bet on Nevada, the Wolfpack, to take. They were the underdogs actually at home against San Diego State, and they got a win.
It was only
like a point and a half, so it actually worked out pretty well. But they were the clear underdog, so I made a little money on that.
You managed your wealth quite well this early. So, on Sunday,
uh-oh, as I got in, I got distracted in the early games, and something happened where I didn't land my parlay, and I'm glad.
Enough with the parlays, Paul.
And I didn't land it. And if I had landed it the way I wanted to make it happen, I would have lost. So I got lucky. I would have lost. Because here's my problem.
Now your brain is doing it without telling you. No parlays.
I pick three. I usually pick three. I'll pick five sometimes, and I'll never land all of them. I'll never get them all. I usually get two. I'll get four. I'll never get the full three. Never get the full five. It's been 2 weeks since I've landed a clear parlay.
It's almost like you should make five separate bets.
Correct. So what I have done is sometimes I'll bet the money line, but again, the money line's so big in some cases where the juice isn't worth the squeeze, to put it that way.
That's true.
Size does matter. You're looking at a minus 500, and there's no return unless you're betting like much larger dollars, of which I do not have.
If we're managing it this way, we're doing parlays. Correct. No, we're not.
Yeah, I know.
Let me know.
I've gotten beat up. So anyway, I just kind of throw all the teams in a hat and just start pulling out names at that point.
You gained wealth on Saturday. Did you lose the rest of it yesterday?
I was even yesterday.
I stayed even yesterday. So you
won
have
a couple,
like,
lost a couple, nothing crazy.
Okay.
But I did not parlay yesterday.
Based off of our conversation with Gino earlier, I'm going to do the hard lover out and say, hey, you can do better. And hopefully you turn into a Heisman level type of better over there. And the only way you're going to do this is by admitting that you have a problem with parlays.
I would take second team All-State betting honors as opposed to All-American or Heisman at this point.
We got a lot of steps before we talk about All-Stateness.
No, there's plenty of football to be played
as
well.
You're not 25 anymore like some of these NHL players that are, you know, young and very good at what they do.
That is very true. We talked about Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. They're 1-2 on this list.
Of top 25 NHLers under the age of 25.
25 under the age of 25.
Yes, so Connor McDavid still is under the age of 25. Right. It's not fair.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news for the league.
Not for our division.
It's not fair. Yeah, certainly for the Western Conference, and definitely not in the Pacific Division. But we may not have that division this year. We may have some kind of
Keep them up in the Canadia, but then the Kraken show up, and then we kick, you know, the Coyotes out. So we don't get to, you know, go watch them in the summertime anymore because they're going to be up in Minnesota henceforth and in the Central Division.
There could be that.
So it's just all very fluid, Paul.
I look at this list and, you know, McDavid, Matthews, Pedersen in Vancouver. Eichel obviously is clear in Buffalo, but notably absent from this list. And I might be answering my own question here, Lindsay, but I'm going to pose it to you. I don't see one Vegas Golden Knight on this list.
Wow.
And is this a product of the fact that it's just a veteran team and no one's been able to crack it? Or is there just no one in this pipeline or no one available that can, you know, fits this specific, you know, demographic of player?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, because this team is more of a veteran-sided team. You know, Mark Stone is 28 years old. Max Pacioretty's on the other side of 30 at 32. William Karlsson, 27. You know, those guys would have been on the list if they were under the age of 25. And really, the only players that would still be considered eligible, I would think, based off of their ages that I'm looking at on Cap Friendly right now, are William Carrier. I'm sorry, Bill. Just not quite that level of reading class yet. With the top 25 under the age of 25, to put him up there with Connor McDavid would just be a little bit of a reach. But the name that I would have figured they would have included if they were would have been Shea Theodore, because he's 25 years old.
Right.
We all saw what happened in the playoffs. It was just all out domination. He was the only one that knew how to score for, you know, three quarters of the last couple of series. And it's not like they discluded young defensemen on this list, because you have Miro Heiskanen from the Dallas Stars. You know, you have Quinn Hughes, you have Cale Makar. But that's the problem is, like, when you're putting up against these guys who are not 25, they're 21. They are literal babies. It's going to be tough because Shea Theodore's name is going to be associated with a lot of these guys for a very long time because these are going to be what your top 5 to 3 right. Norris Trophy, you know, finalists are going to look like. And weirdly enough, you know, a lot of them happen to be on the West Coast. But when you run into that and having this be a mixed list with forwards and defensemen, Shea Theodore deserves to be on this list, but so do a lot of other people. But I don't know if he deserves to be ahead of any defenseman under the age of 20 because he's just on the absolute cusp. And he might have been cut off just based off of where his birthday falls. I don't know if they went that specific into this list. But hockey does go that specific into things because it's your birth year. You have to be right at this line. Otherwise, sure. You can't make the national team. But another year like Shea Theodore had this past season, he's absolutely, you know, up here. But between, you know, Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, who were, you know, back-to-back, or not back-to-back, that were battling for that Rookie of the Year trophy, even if you have just one of those drop out, Shea Theodore takes his spot right away. But again, he's not 2021, but he's still pretty damn good.
This was a full offseason of free agents when it came to goalies. There's only one goalie on this list. Does that speak to a drought that we're about to see in the NHL here in the next few years if some of these veterans aren't supplanted?
No, this just speaks to what the position group is at this age group, and Carter Hart's the only inclusion. He's at 19, and as I said, if it were to, like, people or guys that mean so much to their franchise, like, this guy is going to be the most important player for the Philadelphia Flyers for the next 2 decades, if he can stay healthy and stay at the trajectory that he is. You can ask Mike McKenna because he close personal friend of the show. Freaking loves Carter Hart, played with him, was in the Philadelphia organization when they were kind of bringing him in. And so, and he loves the kid, and he says the kid has the right mindset. But the thing is, most goalies, we don't see that type of talent, that type of, you know, ruthless mindset where you can be in those big time games and playoffs and win. That doesn't happen until mid-20s. Because most of the time, you don't even get the opportunity or the window of chance because everybody's organization is timed this way. Will we see it? Will it change if we see more goalies that come out and are able to hold their own at the younger ages? Yes. But again, as I said, if the NHL is timed that way, so are the colleges to a specific thing. And so do the, like, there's always kind of this rotational thing when it comes to the goaltending position. But it's just, there's not a lot of guys that are as good as Carter Hart is at this young age. Marc-Andre Fleury, Carey Price, that's kind of it, at least in recent memory. Good company, but it means you're usually a lonely guy with a lot of pads on a list like this.
Sure. Coming up next, Tales from the Road.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you here on this Monday afternoon. Do want to remind you, we do have some basketball action coming your way. College basketball does tip off on Wednesday, at least for some schools. Here we will have a game for you. We're off on Wednesday. We will have North Dakota State, Nevada tips off at noon on Wednesday.
And Jackrabbits!
North Dakota State. Yeah.
They're playing Nevada?
Yes.
Wow.
That is 12 o'clock on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, it'll be Nevada-Nebraska. So on Thanksgiving, you'll have Nevada-Nebraska college hoops, followed by the Washington football team in Dallas. So college basketball, NFL, kind of twin bill on Thanksgiving.
The pride and joy of the Nebraska athletic program, the basketball team, you say?
Yes.
The husking of the corn.
Headed by Fred Hoiberg.
That's right.
Yeah, Fred Hoiberg. His second season there, I think.
Yep. Well, he had a great bout of success at Iowa State before he wanted to coach the Bulls, and we won't talk about that, so now he's at Nebraska.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, what comes around goes around.
Yes.
So as many of you head out and about, again, we'll be heading out and about ourselves, taking a little bit of a break here as the holiday rolls through. Some of you may be heading out on a road trip. Maybe it's just 30 minutes down the road to the store and right back to the house again. Or some of you may travel and, you know, you've done the bubbling thing and you've got the tight family and whatnot. And, you know, let's be honest, you know, grandma and grandpa have been trying to, you know, you've been trying to socially distance from them for a while because they like to give you big sloppy wet kisses on the cheek. And, you know, you're just not into that kind of thing. So you're going to hop into and take the road trip.
Yep.
And you're going to move around. And I'm sure that many of you have some you know, some kind of...
Some glory stories?
Some interesting ways to kind of pass the time, whether it be via, you know, your AAU trips back in the day, or you're a parent of a kid, you know, who plays sports, or if you've just had to make the 8-hour jaunt to wherever it is in the smallest car known to man. At least that's how it feels.
Or the biggest car, you know, filled all the way to the brim. I've made that road trip a few times of like... Because I've driven, you've driven more than I have, and that's saying something. I don't think I've ever met someone who's driven more than me.
I've driven cross country many times.
And when I drove back from New Hampshire to Minnesota with my mom, was this almost 4 years ago now? Dude, the absolute worst. What's, do you like driving or being a passenger better? Which one do you usually, you know, go on?
I like driving.
You like driving?
Yes,
you don't get
like,
bored?
No, not at all.
Like,
not
I love driving, but if I can't listen to the tunes that I need and it's not at a, you know, mellow volume for me usually,
sure.
You're shocked. Everyone is shocked.
Yeah, right, truth.
Everyone is just completely taken aback. But I remember we did it straight through. And the only thing you really have to rely on is gas station snacks. And those can be hit and miss depending on the state. Especially if you're in Nebraska, the worst.
It depends on what state you're in. That's true. If you don't have the, for those of you who are familiar with the Midwest, the oases.
Yeah.
They have the oases in the middle where, like, you take a left exit and you pull above the freeway. And
there's
usually
18 different fast food complexes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's like some...
Restrooms.
Like, yeah, it's like you're just there to really use the bathroom because the gas is, like, super overpriced. But, you know, you can usually grab a burger or whatever it is. And they have them on, like, in Pennsylvania, they have them on the turnpike there. And,
yeah.
And, you know, they go into Illinois and things like that. You know, and there are some drives that are just kind of, you know, where you just pass the time by counting road signs. You
yeah,
know, that's
like
about
some
it.
Drives are boring as hell, like Nebraska.
Yeah, oh yeah, Nebraska and
is
Kansas.
The worst.
There's nothing really to see between, and honestly, between, I want to say like Kansas City, especially if you go north. If you take the northern route into Chicago, there's really nothing in Illinois. I mean,
you have toll roads,
empty space and toll roads.
Yeah, man. That's about it. But I think Nebraska is probably the most boring state I've ever driven across. There's just flat. There's nothing. But when I drove out from to here to Vegas from Minneapolis, the worst until the Rockies. Then after the Rockies, coolest drive ever.
Well, because there's something to look at.
I didn't realize that, though, Paul, because that was the first time ever I had driven, you know, west of the Mississippi, really. And so, or at least this many states over, and I was just like, oh my God, look, that's the make or break is where you're driving.
You ever hit an animal?
No.
Ugh,
I've never, but I've
worst.
Seen it. I've seen like geese come down from the sky and like hit a van and you see it and they're like frozen in the midair. I still have like one of those collisions stamped in my head.
I've got two.
What have you hit?
The problem is when you hit animals, they either do one of two things.
They don't use their blinker.
Live or die.
No.
That's pretty much it. Live or die. There's really no in between.
Which animal did you battle?
So I've battled two. One was a deer.
Those aren't very fun.
Well, again, the problem is with a deer is they don't stop and exchange information. They just take off.
Or use
blinkers. It's literally like Las Vegas drivers.
And those things can absolutely total your car.
And so I hit one. I drove a Subaru at the time, and I clipped them. I clipped him with a front end, and I saw it coming too. I'm like, this is gonna happen. I see this thing coming across like five lanes of traffic. I see it. It's coming. I didn't even lock it up. I just slowed down. I hit this thing in probably about 15 miles an hour. This deer must have bounced 20 feet. Left a dent. Again, didn't exchange information. Just took off.
So selfish.
I was like, just ridiculous.
Slow down, baby.
Then the other one, and I blame the bird. I mean, it was. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? That spring training game where Randy Johnson hit that bird with the fastball.
And I do.
All you saw was this explosion of feathers.
Is that what happened to you?
That was pretty much the front end of my truck.
What kind of bird was it? Do you remember?
Could you
tell by the feathering?
Well, if it were true to form, it would have been like a mourning dove because we would have been mourning the loss. But it was probably just a rat of the sky. It was probably a pigeon or something. But that thing just came straight at me, and I'm like, move.
Get out of the way.
Move. Nope.
Oh my God.
It must have been like a deaf and blind pigeon.
Maybe I hit like a squirrel when I was first learning how to drive or something, but I was like devastated by it. I've been really lucky considering, you know, where Minnesota, like there are a lot of deer. There's a lot of like animals, you know.
Living in the northern half of the hemisphere and at elevation.
They got things to do. They got animaling to do, man. We gotta procreate and, you know, create pellets. That's what we gotta do.
I'm thankful I've never... On a roadie, or even in the neighborhood, I've never hit a cat, never hit a dog.
Oh no! Oh my God! Do not even talk about it. I cannot imagine. But I'm just one of those people that I, you know, I'm always paying attention, always.
Right.
But sometimes you just can't help it. Like in the highways, you can't help it.
Punching around.
Well, you know, it does get pretty intense. Maybe that's why I'm in an animal. They can hear me coming. They say, go away. That one, we know this car is coming. We know the presence is there. You know, the deer is eating in the grass. You're crawling up to it with your BB gun.
My favorite is I'm driving and down the freeway is it's not people don't throw out trash at freeway speed. I don't see that. You see them throw out cigarette butts. I don't understand that one. But it's the one where you just kind of see the random hand roll out the window and you see them like twiddle their fingers.
Oh, that's me.
And then they put their finger, then they just pull their hand back in. Like, did you just pick your nose and you're just putting the booger out or whatever it is?
Are you one of those people that like carves through the air as you drive?
When I was a kid, I used to do that.
Okay, so I do that.
The floating arm up and down.
Yeah. You just feel like you're carving up some ice in a way, maybe a wave. You know, I was wearing a Stitch t-shirt on Friday, Lilo and Stitch. So you're just carving it up. I love that feeling. It's the best. I went through a scenic drive yesterday. Through Red Rock. Do you ever do the scenic drive?
Yeah.
Best thing ever. Just buy the card.
Head clear.
You just go through. You look at big rocks. Get through your big feelings and your big problems and send on your merry way. You don't even have to hike.
When you're not driving and you ride passenger, do you try to sleep? Have you ever?
I cannot sleep like in upright, really. I can't. I could never sleep on the bus.
So you're terrible on planes.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. I mean, unless I'm really tired, which is probably why most of the time when I took flights, I was like, we'll just stay up all night and I'll take the early flight so I could fall asleep a little bit.
Right.
So I just, there's a lot of limb to me, Paul. It's a lot of folding for this marionette over here.
That's quite the giraffe.
And, you know, it's hard to pack and go. I'm not the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. But if you want to listen to that conversation, radio.com app, right, Paul?
That's right. Gino Toretta joined us earlier in the show.
Gosh,
all right.
We're good.
We're off for the rest of the week, so enjoy your Thanksgiving week, everybody. For Jess, making things sound nice, she's Lindsay Brown. I'm Paul Iyhander. That's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.